up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
JoJo Siwa, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
I have never been more honored in my life.
What is happening with your hat?
Honestly, what's happening on my head, what's happening in my head, we never know.
If you guys are listening to this episode and you can't see it, JoJo is wearing...
Sign off and go find the visual. Sign off and go find the visual.
Can you explain how you decided today to put this on your head to come here?
Honestly, I did not pick it. It picked me. I have this... So my house is essentially structured, right? Where I have my room and then I have my closet. Uh-huh. And then... downstairs is kind of like another version of a closet, but we have our how houses come with like a bar in them?
Yes.
So our bar has turned into my mom's workstation / craft room. My mom does all my wardrobe.
Oh.
And yeah, she makes everything. She rhinestones everything. She does. She's crazy. She's amazing. But this was hanging out like on the rack downstairs. And I was like, what am I going to wear to Call Her Daddy? Like, you get one time to go on Call Her Daddy. Like, got to do my big one.
It's like, again, like, just rhinestones just, like, covering your entire face off of a black hat. It's
plain black hat.
I'm glad you showed up today and gave us something to talk about already. We haven't even fucking started.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Do you ever find yourself looking at your full wardrobe, but still feeling like you got nothing to wear? Well, gather around, Daddy Gang. Saks.com. You're going to find instant inspiration for that date night, for that impromptu vacation, okay? Maybe you need a new dress because one of your friends is getting married soon, okay? So if you're looking for a new style or want to build a better relationship with your closet, then head to Saks.com to shop for everything on your agenda. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required. This episode is brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of La Vida Más Fina, aka The Fine Life. If there's one thing the Daddy Gang knows how to do, it's live the fine life. I'm talking rooftop parties in the city, weekend getaways, long summer lunches that stretch from midday to the sun goes down. Corona brings relaxing, refreshing vibes to every occasion. Get yours today at ordercorona.com. Drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What did you do today? I was told you had a big day. What was happening?
We did have a big day. So we moved today.
What?
Just me now.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've been waiting for this one.
Shut the fuck up. Okay. Yeah. So I was going to ask you about that because you've lived with your parents your whole life.
Yes.
And when you moved to Los Angeles, you moved into this house that you were living with your parents in.
Yes.
And I think everyone's been kind of like, are you eventually going
to What is she going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, our move was definitely very unconditional. Unconventional. Yes. There's the right word. There she is.
There she is.
Unconditional, but unconventional is the right word. Because I was on Dance Moms.
Yep.
And so it was just me and my mom. My dad and then my older brother, they stayed in Omaha, Nebraska, which is where I'm from. And then when I was 15 is when my dad and brother actually made the move to LA. So it was just my mom and I out here from the time I was 9 to 15. Okay. And then when my dad and brother came out, we had a house. And then we needed a bigger house because all of us in that house was not the vibe. Yeah. And so we got a bigger house. And this house we kind of established like this was somebody's forever home. We didn't know whose forever home, but somebody's. And then, yeah, over the last few years, we have really customized the house to me. And there's a dance studio in it for me. There's the gym for me. There's a room to be a recording studio for me. There's a lot of my necessities, essentially, that I would want in my house. And, yeah, so my brother moved out a little less than a year ago. And I, yeah, today.
So
literally an hour ago.
So you're keeping the house?
So I'm keeping the house, yeah. We say, like, it's kind of been, like, our, like, funny joke, like, our ongoing joke. Like, my parents, oh, they're finally old enough to move out on their own.
Oh,
like,
God.
It's been, like.
Oh, my God. Oh,
but
my God.
Because my family, like, I didn't live with my dad for 6 years. Yeah. And my brother didn't live with my mom for 6 years. And so, like, when we kind of all joined together, it was like we were getting those years back.
Okay.
And then COVID hit. And so it was just kind of like.
It worked out.
Yeah. It was just the vibe.
It feels like your mom and you are very close. Like, are you sad to see her go?
Honestly, all day today I was stoked. So I just lived in Atlanta for like 6 weeks by myself. So fun. 8 weeks by myself. So fun. Loved it. Filmed a TV show while I was there. Great, great time. But living alone for your first time and then going back to living with your parents is
it's
dramatic.
Yes.
It's dramatic. And so I told my mom and dad before I came home, I was like, hey, like the day of me moving or you moving is kind of coming sooner than we all thought. And so then, yeah, once I came home, I told them, I was like, by April 1st, it's someone's got to give. And it safety wise, financially wise, that was a big thing. Like to do it financially the smartest way. It made the most sense for them.
Well, congratulations. Because I was going to say, like, when we'll get to dating in a little bit. Because I was going to say, how the actual fuck are you dating with your parents in your house, JoJo? I'm like, it's like family sleepover. It's like, what the actual. And you've had
fully.
Partners live with you before, right?
Fully.
What?
Fully. Yeah.
So you're like making your coffee with like your partner and then your parents in the morning?
You know, I look back at my past and I look at 16 year olds now. Mm-hmm. And as a 20-year-old, I look at a 16-year-old and I'm like, oh my God, you are the age that my girlfriend was when she moved into my house. What? And I was only 6 months older. Like we were, I'm 9 months older than her at the time. I don't know how it happened. I really don't. Like clearly U-Haul lesbians are a very real thing. Like was one without even knowing what one was. But it's just like COVID, it was summer, like it just like kind of all happened. And then it was like she came to California and then I was like, don't leave. And she's like, okay. 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks, turned into 8 weeks, turned into 9 months, and then we were a married couple at 17 and 16. We had a breakup.
I love that for you. Hold on.
I don't. It was so hard and so great at the same time.
I was about to say, like, I think everyone's probably thinking, obviously, like when you are a child star and you have all this financial success, like are you still like asking your parents if your girlfriend can come over and live with you, or are you just doing it and telling your parents?
That's actually so interesting because there was at a point in time like a switch that did kind of happen. My parents are the best. Like they are so chill. They are so great. Looking back, all of us are like, that should have never happened. And my mom says all the time, she's like, I should have never allowed my 16-year-old's partner to live with us. Like that was not healthy for you. Much less her and her family. Like, it just, like, someone should have put their foot down. But it was, like, no one at the time felt it was right to. Honestly, ever since I turned, like, 14 or 15, I think is when it kind of started. My mom would, you know, to a normal 14 or 15-year-old, be like, well, take your phone away.
Right.
And instead of me being, no, I'd be like, please, then I get a day off work. You know what I mean? And so, like, there was never really – I never did anything wrong. I never did anything bad, kind of. But I was always, at the end of the day, a good, good kid.
And you know I mean? Feel like I was recently talking to Tish Cyrus.
Yeah.
And she was saying how, like, there's also just, like, the reality. She was like, I'm going to call it what it is. Like, I did treat Miley a little differently because it's, like – what, then she's going to move out and leave us.
Yes.
So, like, she had slightly different rules.
Morals and rules while raising them. That's what my mom always said. My mom actually said something today to me that was really sweet. They've had this fear. They had this fear because, so when you are a kid, 15% of every penny you make goes into a Coogan account, right? And so My parents thought when I turned 18, I was going to get my Coogan account money, take all of my money and have it all be mine and be like, good luck, everybody. I'm an adult now. And I told them all the time, I was like, I can give you so much reassurance, but I will never do that. But it just is going to take you realizing over time that I'm never going to do that. And then finally today, that's always been a fear of theirs, like always has been, just because like the opportunity of me leaving them high and dry was right there. Like people have done it before, child stars have done it before, but I would never do that to my family. But today my mom was like, I just want to say like, thank you for never basically kicking us to the curb. Like, wow. Thank you for buying us this new house. Thank you for letting us remodel it. Thank you for keeping us in your bubble. Like, thank you. And I was like, One, you're welcome. Let me be a nice person. Let me say you're welcome. But I fucking told you I wouldn't. Like, I told you. Finally, 2 years later, you believe me.
Okay, but JoJo, facts. You're like, I kept my word, bitch. Like, please.
Like,
but,
I swear.
But, okay, to be real for a second, like, that's also a lot of fucking pressure as a kid.
Terrifying. I didn't really realize it. I still don't have a very good concept of, like, all of that, I guess. Yeah. Like, the pressure that is. But I look back and I, oh my God, what was I just doing? I was just, oh, deleting all my Instagram.
Oh, what?
So before I had like 6,000 Instagram posts. Okay. And, you know, I'm entering this new adult naughty girl phase and living my life, doing my biggest one. And I didn't want my Instagram to be flooded with me back in the day, kind of candy store vibe. You know what I mean? Yep. But I do have some really incredible things that I did in my childhood that I'm super proud of. So long story short, I took it from 6,000 posts to like 170, like really cut back.
How long did that take you?
Not long. There's a hack for it. You can select all at the same time.
Oh, I was going to say, my God, like tunnel up in here. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm exhausted. Like
the swipe. Okay. It was at first, it was like really dramatic. Then it was 100 at a time and it went. Took me like 1 3-hour treadmill walk.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool,
we like
cool.
Got on the treadmill and we were like, we're not getting off till it's done, so
perfect,
finish.
Perfect.
That's what she said. Anyways, sorry.
Fuck. You can understand it's hard for us. Yeah. So JoJo, like we're getting accustomed to you becoming like this adult in our eyes. You know, yeah. We've always seen you as a kid, which I'm sure is fucking annoying to you.
Yeah.
But it's funny to hear you talk like that.
No, it's not. I think I will always have like the respect for my childhood.
Yeah.
Like people are always like, fuck the boat. And I'm like, no, the boat was a magical thing. Like, no, we are never going to be ashamed of it. Like still to this day, like the back of my shirt says the highlight lyric of my song, Karma's a Bitch. And like, I'll meet a little kid and I will make sure they do not see the back of my shirt and I'll cross my arms so they can't even see like the like creepy little front of the shirt. You know what I mean? Like, I do understand that my life will live on,
yeah,
and my childhood stuff will live on. And I'm never ashamed of,
yeah,
anything besides like three things that I did as a kid.
Oh my God, name them.
The one thing that I wish I could go back and change is I wish I would have fought harder for this. I have a song called Every Girl's a Supergirl, and I love it. I think it's an adorable song, but I hate that it discludes boys. I hate that an six-year-old little boy is going to listen to that song and every girl's a Supergirl. And my whole team was like, but at Nickelodeon, they were like, but it's okay to do a song about girl power. Like the boys can listen to the other songs. And I was like, hear me out, everybody. Everyone's a super one. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. Let's do it. And I was 14 at the time. And everyone was like, no, we're doing girl power. And I was like, okay, got it.
So that's one.
Oh man. I would definitely do some things different at the G-Flip concert for sure. That wasn't even a childhood moment, but I would just definitely
explain what you did to the people that haven't seen it.
I fucked the air essentially. I don't know what I did. Long story short, you're never seeing the full video. So it makes me very, very angry. I am this wasn't a long time ago. This was less than 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we were doing sound check and Lauren Sanderson and I were like, how funny if we like dance like funny, like Magic Mike style behind G while they're performing. And we're like, okay. And so we weren't being serious. We weren't trying to be hot or sexy. We were trying to be funny. So if you see the full, like the full version of the video, you see us laughing in the middle of it at each other. Like you see us like making eye contact, like doing the same thing. No, we only zoom in on me and we put it in fast motion and I would make fun of me too.
Right, you're like humping the
air, stage, the stick.
Like, a lot of thrusting is going on.
There's something happening. Look, it got people talking. Last thing also was not long ago was my cover of Traitor that I decided I felt the need to post on Snapchat. I just let it
Wait, what was that? I didn't see that.
So the thing about me is I will rarely, pretty much never, I'm going to say never, okay, claim to be a singer. I will claim to be an artist, okay, or a performer. Mm-hmm. But I know my vocal abilities, and I also know my vocal abilities, what they are not. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm very comfortable when it's my own stuff. But other people's music, I don't do well singing. The only thing, like karaoke, I won't do it unless there's Slim Shady. If they have Slim Shady, I will sing the whole song. But aside from that, like, I won't touch other people's music. I'm scared of it. Like, it always comes to bite me in the ass. Anyways, but I love performing. It's very contradicting because it's my favorite thing to do, but the thing I'm most scared of. So I was singing Traitor by Olivia Rodrigo, and she has a really high note in there, and I was so far from hitting it. Like, so far. Not even close. But then one day, I kind of got close. Kind of got it. And so you see my Snapchat story. I post 300 things a day at this time on Snapchat. This is number 56, 7, and 8 in the middle of the stories. And it's me singing Traitor, and the snaps of Ford are like, I've been doing this for a long time, and like, finally I'm like getting close. Watch. It's not good yet, but watch. And so then people took just that clip, though, of me singing it and like not doing it, and my face turning bright red because I'm like screaming trying to hit it. And then they ran with just that. And like, again, I would hate it too. Like, I do. Like, I think it's hysterical.
But when those moments happen, JoJo, are you like, fuck my life, I need to hide in a hole? Or are you like, oh, this is so stupid because you've had so many of these moments that you don't even feel it?
I call it new hate. Anytime like new hate rolls around, I'm like, ow.
Right.
But then a day goes by, people are still hating on the same thing, and then they get over it.
Okay, wait, we have to quickly circle back because now I do want to like,
yeah,
we're going to go through everything. This is fascinating. I knew our conversation would be like zigzagging.
Yeah.
Finishing that conversation, though, I did find fascinating about the financial situation of like,
oh, yeah, yeah,
the pressure with your parents and, yes, everything, and then being like, are you going to help us out? Or are you not?
Yeah, it was. So my mom and I have always said like, we are 50-50. Mm-hmm. And that like, meaning that financially, like it to a sense, I guess, because like that is what it is. But more so like the work that goes in and out of the like.
Who's calling you? Tell
not,
me now.
Not dramatic. The girl in my music video who I love so much.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's an awesome human being.
Amazing.
But she can wait.
We
love you, Lex.
Love you.
Anyways, so yeah, we've been 50-50. She was really good about doing the work that I didn't want to do, but she could do, like behind the scenes managing stuff, dealing with people. And then I was always good at doing the stuff that I could do. And you know what I mean? And we were a really good team, and she gave up everything for me. I mean, I gave up my life essentially for the world, but like worth it. You know what I mean? And then when my dad moved out, he kind of just like fell into that same pattern too. He used to be a chiropractor. He was a super successful chiropractor, but him and my brother in Nebraska didn't really depend on me at all. I didn't really realize till I was maybe 17 or 18, like, oh, I pay for everything for everyone. Like, but then I was like, wait, I get to take care of my family. I get to take care of the people that I love. They gave up so much for me. And I like, my mom would always say, like, you would do anything for a stranger off the street, right? And I, of course, like if anybody needed anything and I could help, I would. And she's like, so think of your family like that. Think of your brother like that. And I think where I lucked out truly, no one took advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had a chance to. My mom, my dad, my brother, all three of them had a chance to take advantage of me. They all had access to everything. They all had a chance to take it and run, essentially. No one did. Yeah.
Because it's fascinating, like hearing you even say that, it's, yeah, I think people are just so fascinated by it because, mm-hmm, it's not conventional of like your parents like waiting to be like, is she going to take the money,
yeah,
around? Like, what are we going to do? Where the natural dynamic of a child being like, you have to help me survive, mom and dad,
yeah,
like, until I'm a certain age that I can get a job.
Yep.
You having all this financial pressure, does it ever make you be like, oh, I can't just go to my parents and be like a kid and not have the weight of the world on my shoulders?
I definitely have just had a different life. I think where I'm lucky is I don't know any different. Like, I talk to a lot of my friends. Tyler Cameron is a great example. He didn't gain fame until he was about my age now. You know what I mean? And but he, I mean, if you ask him, he was a famous person in high school. And every girl wanted to be on me in high school. I was famous. If you ask him, that's the story.
Of course, that's his version. But,
like, also, I believe it. Like, right? Of course, it's Ty. I wouldn't put it past any girl, any straight girl. Anyways, but I think because since I was 9, it's been this. And so I don't really know any different. But there definitely have been points in my time, in my life, points of time in my life where I go, and I've said this to my parents and more so my mom than my dad, but I've been like, I hate these words, but like mommy mom. And I've told, like, we've had to find the dynamic. It's shockingly, it's gotten harder as I've gotten older. Yeah. But I want you to be more my mom. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to talk to you more about mom things than work things. And then, you know, Nick Vile.
Yep.
One day I was with Nick and I was ranting about things. And I was like, all my mom wants to do is talk about work. And I just want her to be my mommy mom. And like, he was like, JoJo, you need to slow down for a second. You're rambling. And I was like, tell me what to do. And he was like, I'm never going to tell you what to do, but I am going to tell you what's going on. And he gave me the best advice I've ever received in this situation. He told me, he said that essentially I was the problem. I'm the one changing. She is doing what she's done her whole life. That's how we've always communicated. That's how we've always bonded. That's how we've always worked. Like, it just works. It is what it is. It's not normal, but it's our normal, essentially. And I'm the one that's growing up doing more on my own, handling more on my own, and not needing her to fulfill that role as much. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So he was able to put that into really good perspective. And then since I took his advice and applied it in the right ways, it has been perfect. And that was probably 3 months ago.
I totally get that, though. And oddly, it's relatable in a different aspect, I think, for people that maybe grew up with a more like traditional upbringing.
Yeah.
What
do you mean? Mine wasn't traditional?
No, just like a little fucking different. Just a little, JoJo.
Little peculiar.
But it is like you're basically reestablishing boundaries with someone that you've had a relationship with that is so, you both knew exactly how to act from a certain age to a certain age. Now you're transforming into this different part of your life.
Yep.
And you sometimes are like, I just want my mom. Like, fuck business for a minute. And also, you're more established.
Yep.
Where it's like, you can do more mom-daughter things that don't. In the moment, like, you guys were fucking grinding to get to the spot.
Like, and it was both of us grinding. Like, now I literally told her, I was like, I want you to wake up, take a dog for a walk, right, make me my costume.
Relax.
Like, have a Diet Coke, watch a movie, and, like, go to sleep.
Right.
Whereas back in the day, it was like, A, her herself was on Dance Moms with me. Right. Like, she was on camera every day. But then what you didn't see is, like, she had to be in every meeting with me. She had to be everywhere with me. She had to take me everywhere. She had to do everything. She had to manage everything. Like, she was doing so much back in the day.
Was there ever a point where you considered her just being your mom and you guys finding you a different manager?
No. I did have a manager for a very long time. But she, no one is her.
Yeah.
We always, like, I always am like, I literally, like, if something happens to you, like, goodbye, JoJo Siwa. I'm going to go become an indoor skydiving instructor. That's, like, my favorite thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah, indoor skydiving. I love it. I love it so much.
You love a thrill.
Yeah. It's been my sport since I was 14. Like, it's not a very, people don't know it about me.
How often are you skydiving?
Indoor skydiving.
What?
But, like, I mean, if I'm in, like, a, like, chunky phase, like, 3 or 4 times a week.
Is it a good workout?
Yes. Super good workout. It's a full sport. They do competitions. When I was little, they wanted me to do competitions, and iFly wanted to sponsor me. But I wouldn't, because I was like, I'm too competitive, and, like, this is my fun leisure.
Right.
But now my brother's an instructor. He loves it. I got him into it, and he loves it. So that's, like...
Yeah. That is fascinating.
Yeah,
okay, so before we go back to, like, a little bit more of your childhood, we do just have to acknowledge the other moment you just recently went viral. Well, you've been viral a lot lately.
Oh, shit. But, which one?
Well, we're not going to talk about your outfit changes yet. We're going to talk about your kid names.
Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy, my babies.
Okay. What the fuck? Like, I'm sorry, but I have to just, what? How Please. Did you come up with these names?
Please, I
and
love it.
What?
And why?
Like, and why? And you got them tattooed on yourself.
So they were all, you can kind of, there. Some are still lingering around. They were temporaries. Okay. They were like 2 week temporaries.
Okay.
I have three real ones. So I have two on my hands and then one behind my ear. Okay. So Freddie, I love Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
Freddie Mercury is like literally changed my life from the dead. I love that dude. And so I wanted to name a girl Freddie for the longest time, for last 8 years. And then I was like, well, I really want twin boys. And I was like, so my girl's Freddie, and then I got two twin boys. And I wish I could remember the exact moment that it hit, but I was like, oh man, one day Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy, like, it just like came. And we were all like, huh? Like, what just came out of your mouth? And I was like, oh my God, stop it. Hear me out. Girls named Freddie, twin boys, Eddie, Teddy. That's hysterical.
It's hysterical. Pause. I think I would have fucking killed my parents if they had me, my sister, my brother with rhyming names. I feel like I would have got the fucking shit bullied out of me. Like, is it a joke in your mind? Or are you dead ass serious?
I can't predict the future. I can't. I really can't.
But I can for your children. Okay. Those are like, are
Look,
you
here's
worried?
The thing. If that is what my children get bullied for,
you're okay with it.
Down.
Down.
Down. If their name is the biggest of our problems, like,
you're good.
Let it rip. Like, okay. Good. Good.
Good perspective.
Unfortunately, the world is a cruel fucking place right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
My kids, I don't want them to go to public school. I don't want them to go to private school. I want them to be homeschooled. Wow. I want them to be in sports. I want them to do whatever they want to do. But I've had a super strong maternal instinct for a very long time.
Okay.
I will say Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy, like, that started as a joke.
Okay.
It did.
This is good to clarify.
But
now,
for the last, like, 6 months, it really hasn't been a joke. Like, it really...
Jojo.
I don't, like, everyone knows it too. Literally today with the move, I was like, I wasn't sad, but then I realized one day when Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy move out how I'm gonna feel. All my friends know about Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy. I have custody now of all three of my dogs to myself. They're gonna get separated in a bit. My mom and dad are gonna take one, my brother's gonna take another, and then I'll have one. But now all my friends are like, there you go, you got Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy. Like, you're stuck with your three now. Like,
I can't fucking wait. I can't wait to see if you follow through with this shit. I guess we'll have to see.
Here's my thing. The Okay. middle names
Oh.
will not rhyme.
Okay.
So they could go by their middle names.
Lovely.
We got Freddie J.
Okay.
Eddie Anthony. Hmm. And Teddy Ty. Teddy Tyler.
I love that you have this all planned out.
Like, so planned.
And are you going to give your children your last name?
I would like to. Okay. I am more so craving kids than a partner.
Okay.
I've had a great partner. Okay. I have, but I have been really, really done bad in the love department, really bad. And I'm very scared of it now. And I realize that. And I talked to my good partner, who is my ex, but is my good friend. I talk to her about it all the time of like, I can't find it again. And I can get more open about that if you want. But I definitely want kids. If a partner rolls around, down.
Yeah.
But if not, yeah, kiddos can take the last name. They can, we're chilling.
Okay, there's so much to discuss. First, to people that, like, I don't know who doesn't know you, but just God forbid there are people that are like, who the fuck is Jojo Siwa? Like, let's just quickly go back to the beginning. You yes. did get your start on a reality TV show, Dance Moms, which I feel like everyone has fucking seen a clip or seen episodes.
Somehow. And you know what my biggest pet peeve is?
What?
When someone is like, I've never heard.
Yeah, shut up.
Like, it's not even my show. Like, I was on it for 2 seasons. Everyone's heard of Dance Moms.
Every single
You've
person.
Seen something. Big lady yelling at children on TV. Like, you have seen it.
Big lady yelling at children on TV. That's the log line. That's literally the log line.
Like, that's literally the whole pitch of the show. Like, welcome to Dance Moms, living on the dance floor. Yeah.
So you start this when you're 9.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be famous?
Yeah. So from the time I was really little, I was 2, I said I either want to be Hannah Montana or a surgeon.
Oh.
And that still to the day is very true. Now I would add an indoor skydiving instructor into the mix.
Yeah,
but Hannah Montana and surgeon were like my back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I grew up in the competitive dance world. I was a very good competitive dancer. My mom owned a dance studio. Mm-hmm. We drove to Better Dance Studios. That way I would dance at her studio and at Better Dance Studios. Like, we were crazy. She was crazy.
And you grew up in Nebraska. Got it.
Yeah. And so then when I was 9, there was a show called Abby's Ultimate Dance Competition, which was a little bit of like a spinoff of Dance Moms. Yeah. It was still Abby Lee, and mm-hmm. it was her ultimate competition. You started with 12 kids. It got eliminated down to one winner. The winner got $100,000 scholarship to the best ballet school, whole shabam. But it's by the same producers and same network as Dance Moms.
Okay.
So I did that show, and I was a very outspoken, spunky, unafraid, sassy, and I mean, talented 9-year-old. And so then that show aired. I turned 10. And then when I was 11, those producers were like, hey, will you come to Dance Moms for a week? Obviously, every dancer's dream is to be a part of Dance Moms. So then I went to Dance Moms. I was only supposed to be there for a week. And then they really liked us. They liked me. They liked my mom. And they were like, all right, can you guys stay for another week? And we were like, of course. And then it was like that. Can you stay for another week? Can you stay for another week? For probably the first year. And then they were like, okay, you're going to be here for all of next season. To permitting, of course, like you can leave at any time if you want to leave. But yeah, then I was on Dance Moms till I was 13.
Do you remember the conversation in your house of like, are we doing this? Like, what?
So AUDC there wasn't a conversation. My mom knew that I wanted it. Mm-hmm. And she just did it. She signed me up. She sent the stuff in. Like, hope for the best. You're not going to get it. Right. You know what I mean? But, like, hope for the best. And we got it. So that was like, hey, JoJo, I signed you up to do Abby's Ultimate Season 2. Like, and you got it. And so that was kind of that. But then Dance Moms, I was at a convention, at a dance convention. And at this point, AUDC had aired. People had been mean. I had my first, like, haters experience publicly. And it's my first dance convention, like, out the gate again. And it's hard. It's different. People are now in my personal space bubble. People are staring. And I just, like, I wasn't having a good day. And then my mom came up to me. She leaves the room. And I'm immediately like, where's she going? Like, now I'm just not focused in class. And she comes back in the room and she was like, nothing matters. This was on Saturday. She was like, nothing matters. We leave for Dance Moms on Monday. And I was like, what? Like, picture 11-year-old me. Like, I shit a brick, literally.
Of course.
And yeah, I left on Monday.
It's so crazy to always think, I think for most people that didn't have that type of like life-changing moment at such a young age where your life will never be the same.
Never.
From there, now knowing, obviously you didn't know then, but now we all look back and we're like, that was such a big turning point
pivotal
for you.
Moment. Yeah.
So you get on Dance Moms.
Yes.
And Abby Lee is like notorious for being so fucking mean to all the dancers and her students and just like kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Describe your relationship to this woman.
So the thing for me is I went into the show knowing what I was getting myself into.
Okay.
Saw what she was like. And a lot of people would come at me and be like, you knew what you were getting into. That's why it wasn't that hard for you. But everyone else that was on the show danced at her studio for years before. They grew up dancing there. And so everyone knew what she was like. You could leave the dance studio. Like, you might have to wait till the end of the year, but like, you didn't have to keep coming back, you know what I mean? But for me, like, I saw what she was like on TV, and I somehow as a kid could always see the bigger picture. My mom will tell me stories about how I was a kid, and I would be at the bottom of the pyramid, and my mom would be pissed. She'd be so mad. She'd fight all day on set about it, and then we'd get in the car, and she'd be, like, actually mad about it. And I would be like, hey, Mom, it's okay. She was like, you don't care that you're at the bottom? Like, that's bullshit. And I was like, no, Mom, because the person at the top of the pyramid gets, congratulations, you're at the top. The person at the bottom, though, gets the whole storyline of the TV show. And she was like, how the fuck do you know that? You're literally 11. Like, what? And I could always just, like, see that. I could see that, like, because growing up, I was in the front of every dance. I was the star of the dances. And then I'd go to Dance Moms, and I'm in the back left corner. But it didn't matter. And I always knew that. And my mom would get so frustrated. I want you to have a solo. Why are you in the back of the group dance? And I'd be like, it literally doesn't matter. Like, we are making a TV show.
Right.
And so I always kind of realized that. My relationship with Abby now is amazing. The thing is I was there to make a TV show. She was there to make a TV show. And that is how dance teachers are. If you are, and I talk to all of my friends who are professional dancers now, so if you are a good dancer, you are not a healthy dancer. You did not have a healthy relationship with your dance teacher. You did not have a healthy relationship with dance. You've gone through some horrible phases with your body. You are not a healthy, or you were in bad, unhealthy phases. And Dance Moms really just put that on display. But I will say I have had teachers worse than Abby. Like, she's not the worst that I've had.
Yeah.
Toughness-wise, mean-wise. And I liked it. Like, I wanted to be good. And she was right. She wasn't going to yell at me if I was, like, if I did something, like, she's not going to make something up. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know. I always just, like, I craved it. I craved her approval. Maybe I'm a little messed up, but, like...
No, but it's actually interesting hearing you talk about this because I played like very competitive soccer my whole life.
Yeah.
I went on to play D1. And like I am, as you're talking about this, I'm like, it's fascinating because I had some of the most inappropriate coaches from the time I was 8. I remember 9, 10 being like, oh my God, I'm having these like really weird conversations with these men by myself and my mom would have to get involved. And I look back and I'm like, the only reason it wasn't as big of a problem is because it wasn't on TV.
Yep.
Like, if they had a fucking camera at our practices, we had parents fucking hitting each other. Yeah. We had people getting in physical fights. Yes. Like, this shit was fucking crazy.
If you are the best of the best, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You're not normal. There's, like, there's a fine line between, like, okay, this is actually, like, horrific. Yeah. Like, some of the gymnastics Olympics stuff, like that is horrific. But like Dance Moms, like that wasn't like, there wasn't anything besides like tough love almost. You know what I mean? Like she wanted us to be the best.
Right. I get what you're saying now that you put it in perspective. Yeah. It's like if you've ever done something competitively, you kind of get it.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm staring at you, I'm like, oh, I wasn't a dancer, so I can't get it. And then I'm like, wait, what am I talking about? Like, I remember being at TGI Fridays, and a dad was yelling at another dad that my best friend was getting extra training. And they got in a fight, and then he punched him in the face because he's like, your daughter's getting fucking extra training. It's like, what just happened?
Why does anybody care that much?
And like, it wasn't even, like, that crazy that they got into an altercation. Uh-huh. And we all went to practice the next day.
And then like, picture your practices, how tough your practices were.
Yeah.
How hard your coaches were on you. Uh-huh. If you didn't do good or you didn't do to the best that you could do, you're, like, I only know, like, football has crazy practices. Yeah. Like, your coach makes you run. Like, you do cardio. Like, you get punished. You know what I mean? Like, that is part of being...
An athlete.
Yeah. And like you said, like D1, like if you're going to be the best, you're going to be the best.
Right.
And so to everyone, that's okay.
Yeah.
But because Dance Moms was just so put on display.
Right.
And like my thing is, love it or hate it, you're talking about
it's entertaining.
You're into it. You're watching it. You're giving it the view. You're giving it the advertising dollar.
Yeah. First, we have to go back to the bows.
Yeah.
So as I look back at pictures of you, and like you said, you just went and archived like thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands. You were known for neon colors, sparkles, high pony, and the giant bows.
Big old JoJo bow.
And like, was that naturally just your style?
It was. I liked it. That's how I felt comfortable. That's how I felt confident. That's how I felt the most me. Honestly, like 2020 is kind of when it started changing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when I wanted to be like, I'm going to wear Adidas pants and black hoodies and be cool and high middle ponytail. Like 16-year-old me being a baddie. She had her first boyfriend. Like she was feeling it. But it was me. And I just found my laptop from 2014, right? And I'm little. I was probably, I would have been like 12 or 13. And it's me. And I'm sending a video to, because for a point in time, I did have an editor. Mm-hmm. And this was for about 6 months. But the rest of my 7 years on YouTube, I did everything.
Okay.
But I found this video where I was like, hey, Nate, I'm sending you a bunch of footage right now. And if I accidentally send you this, I didn't mean to. It's just me taking thumbnails. And I'm just taking them because I'm in a really good mood right now. And like, I look ready. And so I'm just going to take a bunch of happy thumbnails. And then it's a 3-minute clip of me just like making happy faces, like posing for a thumbnail as a YouTuber. Like I was always that bubble. I was always that happy. The only thing that people didn't see is when the camera went off, I went to work and I edited, I filmed, I wrote down ideas for the next day. I figured out there was a point in time where I was uploading 10 times a week on YouTube, 7 on a vlog channel, 3 on a main channel.
Jesus.
Brutal. plus recording music, doing performances, doing photo shoots, doing TV shows, like so much. And so the only thing that people never saw of me was that, was me editing the video myself. Like I would play with the slime for the video.
Right.
But then like I didn't stop the camera and like keep playing with the slime. I was like, throw this shit away. Let me edit.
But weren't you fucking exhausted?
I don't know how I did it. Right? I really don't. Like I look back at me and I like, I found like what I used to make these like day sheets, right? Because mm-hmm. for my vlog channel, 10 times a week on YouTube was a lot.
That's insane.
It's insane.
Like, I don't think people understand how, like, to come up with an original idea and upload, it's fucking insane.
And this was in the time when Jake and Logan were kings right. of YouTube. And so you had to fight for a view. Like, you had to, like, make every video poppin'. And so I would take a day, though, and I would film 3 weeks worth of daily vlogs in one day. And so like I look back at that schedule and I'm just like, how?
How are you even being a real human?
How?
Your whole life is just to get content.
But it was like, it was who I was. It was yeah. what I loved. Yeah. Most kids, you know, went to school, went to soccer after or baseball after or dance after. But once I hit 13, it was wake up, film, edit, yeah. upload, sing, dance, record, post, sleep.
I think that, yeah, I think that when I think about like public opinion, I think for a really long time when you had the Beau era, like it made sense until it didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people were like, why is she as kind of now like this older teenager yeah. still wearing these outfits that are so childlike? Because I think a lot of teenagers not in your position.
Totally.
Who had maybe a traditional upbringing like myself. Like I was trying to dress to look older as yep. a teenager. I'm like, oh, I want to push 13 my
tits. You're like, yes. here we go.
Like I got to like get the boys to like me. I'm going to push my tits up. I'm going to like go yep. to the parties. And then we have JoJo who is wearing a Beau and looking
at
more.
18.
Exactly.
Yep.
Like, did you ever struggle to feel your actual age?
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Do you ever find yourself looking at your full wardrobe, but still feeling like you got nothing to wear? Well, gather around, Daddy Gang. Saks.com. You're going to find instant inspiration for that date night, for that impromptu vacation, okay? Maybe you need a new dress because one of your friends is getting married soon, okay? So if you're looking for a new style or want to build a better relationship with your closet, then head to Saks.com to shop for everything on your agenda. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Daddy Gang, what are your plans for the summer? I want to probably sign up for a couple excursions with Matt, really put myself out there, do something I don't usually do. But when you want something, you got to just go for it. And that applies when you're hiring for your business. ZipRecruiter can help you snag the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter, Daddy Gang, and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/daddy to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Did you ever struggle to feel your actual age?
Not at all. Not really? At all. Because I was more my age than anybody else was. If anything, I was older. Maybe physically, I looked younger. Maybe if you seeing me wearing a Beau and a rhinestone costume with a unicorn on it, yes, I look 11.
Yeah.
But the job that I'm doing while wearing this is what a 30-year-old's doing. You know what I mean? And so I never cared that I was that age doing that thing. And I mean, I was 16 years old going on a world tour. I was 16. I became the youngest person to ever perform, sell out and headline the O2 Arena in London. Like, that is sick. Yeah. You know what I mean? To go on, it was an 134 show arena tour, sold out, 16. That is what adult pop stars are doing. Like, we would get like top ticket sales of the month reports, and it was Pink, the Jonas Brothers, JoJo Siwa, Queen. Like, it, like, I was always in the top five, always. And it, so I never like, and anyone that knew me, and whatever I looked like physically, that should never matter to anybody. Yeah. Like, it's, I almost would explain it kind of like a toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in a relationship as a teenager and you like have to like try to prove that you're in love, but then you're a 50-year-old married and you're like, fuck you too. And like, you still sleep together at night.
Yeah.
That's how I was as a kid, as a teenager. It was like, I didn't need to prove my age, prove my knowledge to anyone. And then when I hit like 17, 18, people in the industry started to like try to make me feel like I had to like prove myself, you know what I mean, and prove my knowledge. And I'd be like, I've literally same thing for the last 6 years. Like, I know what I'm doing, I promise. Right. And so I just,
no, I appreciate you explaining it, because it does give more context. Like,
yeah,
knowing how competitive you are, yeah, as having been an athlete your whole life,
yeah,
I get it, where like, oh, joke's on all of you.
Yeah.
I'm working my ass off. I'm doing this thing. I also get publicly how people were like,
looking at it,
this
and laughing
looks a little
at
Arrested
it.
Development, where it's like, grow 100%. Up. Why the fuck are you wearing a bow on your head at 18 and dressing like a younger,
a toddler?
Did you have any people your age that would like make fun of you? Did it ever get to you?
I have never had friends my age, ever. I've always straight older. My best friends have always been older than me. Mm-hmm. They, when I was 16, my best friend was 23. When I was 17, my best friend was 31. Like, my closest friends have always been older than
me. Why do you think that is?
Because even though I looked physically one way,
yeah,
I was not that. I was 10 years older. And if you ask anyone that's close to me, they know that. And that's why I think like the public opinion never cared. I was like, okay, like,
right,
you know what? Like, it never fazed me, because I was doing what I love to do. I was mm-hmm. getting to perform. I was getting to be Hannah Montana. Like, that's what I always wanted. And then I have such a good bubble of people. And even now, like, as I'm older, now I'm 20. You would think I would still be like, now like my friends will be like, maybe like 21, 22, 23. Yeah. I have a best friend that's 23, but then my best friends are 31, 34, 36.
Right.
Like, it's all my friends.
It's interesting, because I'm just thinking of like the public, because I appreciate you. I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I'm trying to actually think of like the way that people would look at this, and they'd be like, what you're saying, I think people think the opposite of you.
100%.
I think people think
100%.
You have almost been like, again, please don't take that. I'm just like, the, you know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
I think people would probably think you're like stunted in your growth because you're a child actor.
Yep.
You act like a kid.
Yep.
They don't see you behind the scenes. Like, you're right, of you being exactly. like, and then I wrote an entire show, and then I would edit it, and then I would upload, and then I would do it again. And I was a business person, and I'm sitting in meetings, and I'm meeting with adults. Yep. So it's like, we're seeing the fun, outgoing JoJo of like, click on my video and
welcome to my YouTube channel.
Right.
Yeah.
And 100%. I do feel like a lot of people have come out, like even Logan and Jake have been like, it's not that it's fake. It's just, it's not natural to have a camera in front of your face. So naturally, I'm playing a character of myself.
You're going to go up a bit.
Yeah. Right. This is helpful to hear from you
about this. Yeah. It's funny. I've actually really enjoyed talking to you about this, because no one's gone deep into this like with me ever, so it's been fun for me to hear you ask a question almost with like one point in your head,
right,
and then I explain the answer, and then you're like oh, like, it's
because that's how it's fake. The internet is so confusing, and I don't think there's a right answer of like, there are so many people that upload every day and go to sleep at night being like, I am a complete different person on the internet than I am at home. There are then people that it's like somewhat them, but
it's a version of you.
Yes.
Like, there is a reason why influencers are influencers, mm-hmm. because they understand the game. They understand the chess game. You know what I mean? And that's, for me, where I'm kind of a mix of an influencer and an artist. Mm-hmm. I understand both of the games. I think that's why, though, whatever the internet used to think about me, or still does think right. about me, doesn't affect me at all, because I know. Well, and they don't. There's so much they don't know.
Right. And it's like, not to be a dick to people online, but it's like, you guys don't want to watch JoJo in a business meeting. You're not going to vlog yourself doing your business meeting. That's not interesting. I've literally talked to people I work with that I'm like, stop filming yourself in your business meetings. No one cares.
And that's like with social media, that's all the time what I'll say is like, literally no one cares.
They just want to be entertained. And even that if part. You're being crazy as fucking moments, and in your head you're like, this is gonna sell, this is gonna work, that's a version of you. There's also a version of you that probably sits at home alone and is silent a lot because performers need silence. You can't film that version of yourself, JoJo. That's not interesting.
That part, exactly. When people, I just, one of the girls who's in the top 10 of So You Think You Can Dance, mm-hmm. I can talk about now because this is it's actually coming out tonight.
Oh, amazing.
Which I'm stoked about. They're all gonna have their moment tonight. But I was talking to her and we'd become a bit of friends, and I was talking to her and I was like, she was saying that she went home and all her friends were like, so what's JoJo like? Like, is she annoying? Is she loud? Like, what's she like? And DeKayla was like, I mean, no, like she actually is like quiet. She has her shit together and she like talks when she's talked to. And that's for me. I am like, put my head down and work, get my shit done, and entertain the world. I've always believed from the time that I was very, very young that I was put on this world to entertain. And I love to do that. But then, like, the most introverted introvert, the quietest, the hardest working, like, I'll be the first at the studio and the last to leave. But I also will be the one that'll be like, guys, be quiet. Like, we're trying to focus. You know right, what I mean? Like, right. I definitely gave the world a show. I didn't give them a character. I didn't write anything. It all came naturally to me. But, like, same way I'm in here with my fucking rhinestone shoes, my leather pants, my cut shirt, and my fringe on my head. Like, if I was chilling at home, I would never wear this. But if I came here, people would be like,
you're putting on a show.
Where's JoJo Siwa? Like, I'm going to give you JoJo Siwa. Like, I know who that is. You know what I mean?
Do you get exhausted from it at all?
No, because it's natural. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So my real name's Joelle.
Okay.
And this is a conversation that almost immediately when I have this conversation, I have it most with lovers because it's most important to me that I explain it to them.
Yep.
And I won't get like too deep into the JoJo Joelle difference conversation, but there's Joelle and there's JoJo. Mm-hmm. They both are present at all times. Sometimes we look like one, but we are the other. And sometimes we look like the other and we are the one. You know what I mean? So like right now it's like I look like JoJo, but I am Joelle.
Yeah.
But then what gets really hard in the relationship world is when I look like Joelle, when I'm at home, when I'm in sweats, it's like partners in the past have forgotten that I am still this human and like almost will like shit on this human a bit, if that makes sense. And so it's like, wait,
talk to me about that. What do you mean shit on it?
This hurts like a bitch when partners say this. It is like, I like the other version of you better. Like, I like that only I get this version of you, because that's not true. Everybody gets this version of me. But it's like, I'll be performing or filming a video or something, and it's like, oh, I can't wait for it to be like behind closed doors you again. And I'm just like, ow, because behind closed doors me is the same thing.
It's like you're looking for some respect of like, mm-hmm. have an understanding. Like, I don't have it at all as much as you do, but like, of course, like I'm not completely the same sitting in the studio as when I go home to absolutely. My fiance. Like, I'm different.
Of course.
We're all different at work.
Absolutely.
Like, fuck entertainment in Hollywood. Like, every single person acts different at work. And so you're looking for your partner to like accept you.
And be... The difference is, like, when I go home, I don't get to leave my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to leave my work. I don't get to leave my career. It is my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like my career is almost like a child. Like, you don't just get to like see you tomorrow. Like, it like it's always present. You 24/7. Know what I mean? And you can probably relate to this too. Like, you might be in bed and you get a call that you have to answer.
Have to.
It's midnight. Your guest for tomorrow canceled. Who do you want?
Yep.
Like, that's, I'm sure, has happened to you before.
Yes. Yep.
And like, I've had partners that are not understanding. Oh, why do you have to answer your phone right now? Like, right. And I'm like, oh, because my work was here before you and it'll be here after you.
Right. Right. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Okay. Let's get into relationships.
Oh,
okay. Hell. Okay. So
up, everybody.
I know. Fuck. Okay. So 2021, you come out.
Yes.
And how would you describe the internet's reaction?
Honestly, I thought great.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God, I got 90,000 comments. I've never had this. I didn't expect anything. Like, I came out because one night, it was like kind of expected, okay. Right? And then one night I was on FaceTime with my girlfriend and I was like, I want to post this picture. Like, I put it on my close friends like 3 days before and I was like, I think I want to post it public. And she's like, go for it. Like, you should. So I did. And then the next day I woke up to 90,000 comments and I was like, holy what did I just do?
Right.
So I read the comments and it was like, cast of Grey's Anatomy, which like I love Grey's Anatomy, so I was like shitting bricks. Right. Ellen had never had any contact with me before, like Ellen, like crazy people. Then I scrolled past about 200 and then all 89,800 remaining were awful, horrific. Never letting my kids watch you again. I'm throwing away all of our bows today. Ugh, another one down the drain. Like, so foul. And I've talked to Kershell actually about this. I love Kershell and G Flip so very much. Kershell was like, she was saying like, anything that I lost, like, I don't want you to like me. And I said that same thing when I was 17. Like, if you didn't like me on January 8th, but you did on January 7th, that's your problem, not mine. And I think that me coming out at 17 was massive for kids. I do. And I look as a 20-year-old now, I look at 17-year-olds and I'm like, oh my God, how did you even know? Like, it just, and then like, I've had friends now that will be this age, 20, 23, 22, and they're scared to come out. And I've quite literally, I did this to my best friend. I literally opened the closet door, kicked him out of it on accident. Thought we were out, but we weren't. And so then like we really had to like really reel it back in and backtrack. And then I got to kind of help him through his coming out journey. And it was actually one of the most beautiful moments of my life. But it's scary. The world is still a scary, mean, unaccepting place.
It is terrifying because you would think like there's a facade on the internet that everyone acts like we're all so progressive. And it's still so many people are still so homophobic and it's so sad. But like what makes me sad also for you though, JoJo, is like now understanding you and like knowing like you are this person that has had people looking at you your whole life, so you are used to it. But in one of your most intimate moments that you're deciding to share with the world, then you knew in the back of your head probably like, I don't know how this is gonna go. Like, you never know.
Yeah, just like hope for the best, though. Right. Like, it's real, it's true.
But then having people say like, I won't let my children watch you and all that, like before you had the Kershells of the world and people immediately coming to like have you look at it in a different way, like in that moment when you opened your phone and you're by yourself, like what did you actually feel?
It was really, really tough.
Yeah.
It was. I didn't understand it. I was just like, why? Why take the time to comment that? The only thing that I ever responded was to one comment and they said, it's simple, I'm never letting my kids watch you again. And I just responded, okay, with an exclamation point. Like, get them, 17-year-old me.
Bye.
Like, okay.
Get them.
Like, live your life. But the, like, reaction from the world wasn't very hard. At the time, I was still signed to Nickelodeon, and president of the company was like, so what are we going to tell the partners? And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean, what are we going to tell the partners? And they were like, well, what are we going to tell, like, all the retailers? Like, you need to have a call with all of them and reassure them that, you're, like, you're not going crazy. And I was like, guys, I came out. Like, I didn't. I'm going to tell them that I'm happy now. And then I took a call. So I had to take a call because my merchandise was everywhere. Target, Walmart, Amazon, Claire, everywhere. You name the store, it was there. So I had to take a call with all of them. And they were all, we're so excited. We're so proud of you. Like, we're already thinking about Pride this year. Like, what are we going to do with you? Like, this is awesome. And I remember the company being like, oh. Mm-hmm.
I do think, and it's, I don't even want to throw anyone under the bus. I do think it's important, though, that you're saying that.
Yeah,
publicly, because it's like, it is important to, I feel like a lot of people know they aren't up to speed and up to date with like No. We don't stand for any homophobic slander at all anymore. Let everyone live their lives. But when you're working with big corporations who maybe have a gay son or whatever it is, like, but they just know what sells in the market still. It's like, we have to have these conversations to be like, the fact that you had to get on a phone call. And it's amazing you were met with such like grace and people being so excited.
But like
and
the fact that that even had to happen is psychotic. And of course, now I'm a little more like, my new video is like me and a few girls, a little raunchy. Like it's, my next one's a little bit more intense. Like it's like, of course now, but I'm 20 now. At the time I was 17, it wasn't like, here I am doing my big one with a girl now. Like, let me get my, no, it was like, I'm happy. Look at me and my girl in Disney sharing a beignet. Like, it was innocent. It was sweet. Right. And it was like, they're like, well, how is this okay? And I was like, how is Prince Charming and Cinderella okay? Right. Same way, that's okay.
Okay, we're swerving again because I'm like, wait, we're going to come back to dating. We do need to talk about this new look because it is a 180 from your whole fucking life, essentially. Fully. Like, did you keep the bows? Like, where are the bows? Are they in a drawer?
They're all at my studio. So I have a studio in Burbank and we keep everything out there. I have all my archives.
So people are saying online, like, she's trying to have her, like, Miley Cyrus bangers moment. Honored. Like, just stop. Like, let it go. Like, honored. What do you think of this?
When I was 8 is when Miley had her bangers moment. Okay. And I was like, all I want is to have that one day. Like, I want that. And honestly, since I was like 15, like my whole like inner circle has been like talking about it and like getting excited for it. And then 2 years ago is when I started writing new music. Okay. I got out of my Nickelodeon music contract. I signed a deal with Columbia Records. Mm-hmm. Label has been amazing. And I started doing music. And honestly, we started off like pretty calm. Like nothing like what's out right now. And then I got pitched this song, Karma, and it's, the first word is, I was a bad girl. And I was like, oh fuck, it's a good song. I was like, but I can't say that. I can't say I'm a bad girl. I'm not. I was 18, fresh off of my Dream the Tour. And I was like, I can't say, I sang Every Girl's a Super Girl last week. Like, I can't sing I was a bad girl this week. It doesn't work. So then I was like, but like, I love the song. So let's try it.
Okay.
And I was like, we can save it. Like, let's just put my voice on it. We can save it. So we did the song. And then I was like, this feels wrong. So then I did a, she was a bad girl, singing about someone else. Put the blame on someone else. Then I did a, you were a bad girl. Put the blame on another human. Then we heard all the versions and nothing hit quite like me being the bad guy. So I was like, okay, we'll leave it at that. And we'll find it. We'll find it in a few years from now. And so this point in time, this is March 2022. Okay. So I'm thinking music's coming out in July. Like, I gotta like bust a nut to get this music done, right? Here we are. We are now at the end of 2022. Nothing's come out. And I'm like, I'm chilling. And I come up with this music video idea for Karma. And I am obsessed with it. There is no changing my mind. There's also no changing my mind that now this song comes first. Because if I want my moment, this is my 180. This is my moment.
Talk to me though about the hate, because it's a lot. Mm-hmm. If you go on TikTok, if you go, like, there are people being like, is JoJo Siwa okay? There's comments on the music. Like, people are really being mean. How they do you feel about it?
Like I said, I will never ever claim to be a singer, but I will claim to be an artist.
Okay.
I am giving the world art. And they might not like it, they might hate it, but they're enjoying it. And it's become a bit of a guilty pleasure for everyone.
So when you're sitting with your team and you're sitting in bed and you're reading these comments, like, it doesn't affect you at all?
It does. It does, because with Karma, I'm so proud of. And I think the music video really does more justice than the song. And once they're together, it is a work of art. It is sickening. And it is the full 180 moment that I have always wanted. And the fact that people are comparing it to Miley's bangers moment, like, goal achieved. It's like when people were trying to tell me that I was dressing like G-Flip. I was like, thank hallelujah, I did it. Like, that was the goal. Nailed it. You know what I mean? And I literally got off stage with G-Flip and I was like, sound the alarms. We're buying the oversized pants. Cut the arms off the muscle tee. Like, here the frick we go, everybody. Like, full 180. And now same thing here. It's like, okay, we get to have this moment. Let's have this moment. Like, no child star has done this since her. And they have had beautiful transitions. Olivia Rodrigo has had one of the most incredible success stories as a musician, as a young musician. But there was no flip. There was no, like, child star flip like Miley had. And I knew I wanted that. I wanted to give the world art.
Why do you think people on the internet have such strong opinions about you?
Because it's fun to. It is fun. It is fun for them. My mom told me, she said, I love you more than anyone in the world. I will not open your comments and comment. She said, so for somebody to open your comments and comment, they're enjoying it. It's fun for them. I am also guilty of when everyone was saying Trisha Paytas was pregnant with the reincarnated queen. I made a TikTok about it because it was hysterical. And then, like, everyone, I was the one that went down in flames for it. Like, everyone was doing it. I was the one that went down in flames for it, which, fine. Like, yes, it probably was a joke that I shouldn't have made. But, like, again, everyone was doing it. Yeah. Jumped on the bandwagon. Shouldn't have. But I've jumped on those bandwagons, too, before. Yeah. And so what gave me a lot of reassurance was somebody made a video hating, making fun of the dance. Mm-hmm. And I duetted them, mm-hmm. poking at the dance. And they posted another video of them reacting to my duet. And I was like, oh, a day ago you were making fun of it. Now you are screaming around your room, freaking out, crying because I duetted it.
Right. It's like you're kind of just leaning in. Like, if people are going to make fun of you, like, okay, you're still talking about me.
Be my guest.
I'm having fun. I'm not taking myself that seriously. I told you guys I'm not considering myself a singer. I'm a performer.
That part.
I'm an artist.
And
it's making conversation.
And it's art. And people... It is doing exactly what I wanted it to. I wanted people's heads to turn. I wanted people to go, what?
Right.
I wanted people to go, what is she saying? Honestly, what I didn't expect is for people to know every lyric that's been released.
Okay, we're going to come back to the music again. Pause, back to dating.
I love it.
So you're growing up. We're watching you, even in the maturity of your lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Are you currently dating anyone? Are you dating?
In this moment.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Single.
Single.
To people?
My ex, per usual. Not like that, though. Not like that.
So you don't have, like, a little roster on the side going on?
No, I did. I fully did. Okay. And about at the same time, I had, like, 3 or 4 girls that I was like, wait, I'm kind of into all of them. Like, this is kind of fun. Like, I've never had that.
Right.
And then I had to have, like, the, like, more serious Joelle versus JoJo conversation. Mm-hmm. And I ran. I was like, oh, I can't do this. I can't give this. Wow. Let me make sure I'm talking right about this.
Okay.
My last relationship was very public, mm-hmm. by both of our choice. Mm-hmm. Our getting together was very public. Our official relationship was very public. Our breakup was very public. Mm-hmm. There has been a lot that went down that if this microphone wasn't on, I would tell you what she did, what she told me anonymously. But I had to have my security team handle it. And I found out that it was her that I cannot give. I can't. It's like it built a trauma that I didn't even know I have until now. I'm like, oh, that's why you can't talk to a girl, is because of that. And it's hard. I mean, I'm very focused right now. I'm very into my art. I'm very into my career. And so I'm very lucky that I have that to preoccupy me. But I love love. I love love. But what's fucked is, this is what I was getting at. And then my ADHD clearly took us in a different direction.
Wait, but can I ask, why can't you talk? Why can't you just say it?
I mean, I could, but it's like a whole ass legal thing behind mm-hmm. closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, I have fired at her a little bit on social media, mm-hmm. and she's fired at me a little bit on social media. Mm-hmm. I've never started it, but I used to join in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I would finish it. Like, if you're going to come at me and make me a bad guy, I'm going to say as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And what happened that my security literally is like, hey, you can't talk about this because mm-hmm. it is a legal thing. That happened 3 months after we broke up. And so it, like, I finally had, like, processed the breakup. And I was the one that chose the breakup, but it's still not easy.
Of course.
But the fact that, like, I had processed and gotten through it, and, like, we finally got through all the social media heat. And, like, I, at that point, was like, you know what? I'm just going to take the social media heat. Like, I don't care about the narrative anymore. Like, I don't care about the truth anymore. Like, fuck it. Like, I'm 19. Like, it really isn't that dramatic. It's really not that dramatic. And then I got a really, really, really fucked up, had to have my security team handle message. And that's when I was like, I just realized there's so much that the world doesn't know, including that. And like, still to this day, I'll get these comments and I'm just like, the world doesn't even know.
Can I ask you, without getting specific, like, what are the feelings when you found whatever this thing was out? Like, what are the feelings that hit you?
At first, I had a weird gut instinct.
Okay.
Had a weird gut instinct. And I was like, I bet it's. And then so I sent it to my team. And then he was like, hey, we need a call, because it is somebody that was very, very close to you that did this. And I was like, oh, fuck me. Okay. And then I knew. And at first I was like, okay, whatever. But then I was like, wait. I was like, that's actually not okay. And then it didn't hit me again until I tried to date again. And then I realized, like, okay, so remember back in the day when you were like,
back in this interview.
Literally an hour ago.
An hour ago.
Like, literally an hour ago when you were like, with your parents at the house, how are you dating? I wouldn't want to be around someone alone because of what homegirl, what happened and what she said and what she, like, I.
Trust issues trust came out of this.
Mad. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I mean, look, I have great things to occupy me now. I have a career that I'm so happy about, but yeah, it does suck. Like, I'm a cuddler, and so, like, I don't get that anymore, and I'm like, fuck.
I get the defense mechanisms of, like, I'm going to work, I'm going to, but if you're human for 5 seconds, like,
that's someone, what we crave.
And when someone betrays your trust in the most intimate setting of your life with someone that behind closed doors that you trusted, and you're getting to be your act, like your real, like real self,
your closest person,
right?
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's like, how do you even recover?
I've talked to my good ex Kai. I'll talk about Kai. Okay. We're on great terms. We're good friends. Great. And I talked to her about it. She knows what happened. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you have to trust me when I say there are other people like me in the world that are good, that will not do you dirty, that will love you, that will care about you, and will not do this. Yeah. And don't give a shit about social media. Don't give a shit about social media views, shit about social media hate. She's like, there will be, I know I might not be right for you anymore, but there will be someone that is. And like, that's where I'm like, at some point I did date an angel, and unfortunately just time is time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you have to believe that, like, there are pieces of shit out there that like are going to exploit and try to
for
like,
sure.
And in your situation, like, you're not in a normal situation. Like, people can make money off of you and exploit you and use you. But when you do find your way back to trusting someone, that curious, part. Do you have a type?
This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required.
Do you have a type?
I so have a type.
Oh my God, what is it?
I so have a type. Tall.
Okay.
Older than me. Okay. Masculine. I don't care if they're in the industry, but I would prefer not the same field. Like, okay. I would prefer not another artist. Like, I just think that'd be hard.
Yep.
I like long hair, like dark long hair, pretty teeth, eye colors, whatever it is. I like fit girly, like someone who's like down to work out with me. And literally a number one thing, get ready, put your seatbelt on, you're going to lose your shit. One of the first things that I talk about with somebody, and I don't come out and be like, so are you ready for kids?
Fuck.
I don't come out like that out of the gate. But when I start to talk to somebody, I will initially be like, I'm really stoked to have kids like within the next 3 or 4 years. And just to see how someone reacts to that, see if they're ready for it. And they'll be like, oh, you want kids? And I'm like, yeah, I have baby names picked out, like got a sperm donor lined up, Freddy, Eddie, and Teddy. Like,
fuck.
And I have that conversation in a way that they know it's there. Mm-hmm. Because some people have been like, oh, I ain't having kids for another 20 years. And then I'd be like, oh.
Good to know.
That's not going to work then. Or, oh, I'm not having kids for another 5 years. And then I'm like, 5's workable. You know what I mean? Right. So,
okay.
Yeah, I've definitely had that. But because I like older, it typically
is working out.
Is a good. Yeah.
Okay. Did I read this correctly? Oh, I heard that anybody you date, now you did give us context though as to why it would happen, has to go through a background check with your security team.
Yes.
Can you walk me through how the fuck you tell this person this is going down?
I hate it.
No.
It is the absolute worst conversation. Luckily, I've only had to have it once.
Okay.
Because look, if I start talking to you till we're like serious,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter. Okay. Like, if we go on 3 dates, like, it doesn't matter. But, like, by the time we're hitting that, like, 4th date, like, maybe this could go somewhere. Right. That's when it's like, okay.
Here we go.
So the first thing I have to do is I have to alert my security team and be like, so I'm talking to X right now. And then they do a little bit of a background, like, a very, as if I was sending it to a friend. Like, they check their socials. They just kind of see. And then we go from there.
Is that weird? Like, do you like talking to your security team about your love life?
I hate that I have to do it.
Okay.
I hate that what happened that I have to do it. Okay. It's so fucked, but it's a safety thing.
Yeah.
And like, if I do have children with this person one day, like, run your background check.
And to confirm, did this started after the incident?
Yes.
Okay. So you've not always been like rolling up with 5 security deep, like, no, what's up? No, let's go on a date with these 5 men.
No.
Okay.
No.
This was after an incident.
After the incident happened, after the fuckery.
Okay.
That's when it was like, so now we're at the phase of your life. And this is a very normal celebrity thing. Like, it is a very normal thing. It sounds very awkward, but my security team has done security for many of my idols, many of people that I look up to, and many people that are in my same field. And they're like, this is a normal practice. You essentially, I just have to say to the person, like, hey, so because of something that I've gone through, like, I have to have my security run a background check on you. There's 2 ways they can do it. They can, one, they can interview you, or B, they can do it without talking to you, but you still have to have knowledge of it, essentially. Yep. Here's what I realized. First time I had to have that conversation, I was like, this is horrific. Like, I can't even believe I'm about to have this conversation. Like, how embarrassing. Like, I'm taking this serious enough now that, like, my security has to check you. Like, that's disgusting. And no matter whether you're a date deep or 20 dates deep, awful. Like, awful. Either way, like, you're going to be that crazy after date one, or you're going to be like, fuck, we've gone on 20 and you're just now thinking of this. Like, you're SOL either way.
Yes,
like,
yes.
But luckily, homegirl was like, I'm totally fine. Like, I get that. Like, I understand your life. I understand.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense that you would have to have that done. Like, you can give them my number. You know what I mean?
That's great.
And so that made me realize that if someone's dating me for the wrong reasons, they'll be like, ew, why do you have to do that? Like, that's weird. But if someone's in it for the right reasons, they're going to be like, actually, I respect that. I understand that.
Well, because I was like, did anyone ever not pass the background check? And like, what?
No. But like, what happens?
Right. Like, what happens?
You're what like, happens then?
Goodbye. I'm in love with you. But you gotta go.
But you gotta go. It's more so, I think I would just have to be aware of some things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that, like, look, mama, I'm not gonna be in love with a criminal. Like, we're chilling.
Yeah, we're
like,
chilling.
There are some basic things that, like, you can just read a person right away. And, like, yeah. I have talked to some people that I'm like, gotta do.
Right.
But, yeah, if that ever happened where my security was like, this isn't good.
Can your security find if people have, like, fake accounts and are trolls on Reddit?
Yes.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, JoJo, like, I need to come over and, like, have them, like, help me out with a couple things. Wait, they can find if they're trolls?
I could change your world.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, so everyone on the internet, like whenever you're like, oh, I bet you have a fake account, you can just have them go find it.
Yeah.
Wow, you're kind of like the fairy godmother over there with your
the
sparkles.
The thing about the internet is it is the internet.
Right.
Everything is out there, whether you like it or you know. Not the fairy godmother with the sparkles.
Literally, I'm staring at you like.
I feel like I'm getting hypnotized over here.
I feel like I'm on drugs right now because I'm trying to look through there to look at your eyes. And I'm like, is she still there? Is this AI? What is happening? Okay, so wow, you have security and it's made it a little awkward, but not too awkward.
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation, but it's gone good every time.
Okay, what are you like in a relationship? Are you needy? Are you playful? Are you jealous?
I am needy. Okay. I am attached. Okay. I crave love. I crave it. I haven't had it in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I definitely am very territorial. Mm-hmm. I am. And that is a reason why I was like, I'm going to take some time. I told myself, I was like, I'm going to take a 3-month dating break. That was my goal.
Oh, okay.
Then I tried to date again and I realized that I had all these problems now because of the whole situation. But yeah, I was like, I'm going to take my cute 3 months, fix my problems, find it, not become a jealous person anymore. Yeah, but I have a lot of love to give. Okay. And because my career is established, mm-hmm. not established, but it's I've been doing it for a really long time. Mm-hmm. It's been a decade of it. So I kind of just know how to keep going. I have a lot of time, too, to give in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so where that's different is a lot of 20-year-olds are just figuring out their life, which I think is why I prefer 27, 28, 29, because they've got it figured out. You know what I mean?
Right. You've been the one to typically end things.
Yeah.
How do you know when it's time to walk away?
That's a very hard thing. There is never a good time, ever. First time for me, it was needing to happen. Like, we both knew it. And I finally just grew the pair to do it. And it was right for both of us. And we both agree it was awful, horrific. Mm-hmm. But it was the right thing. Second relationship was with the same girl, and that time something happened where I was just like, I'm out, like, but we're good, we're great terms. Third time, gut feeling, literally, like, when I tell you, woke up one day and was like, and my family was like, JoJo, what? Like, no, like, are you crazy? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, but I can't be here anymore. Like, I can't do it anymore. And what do you know? Gut was so right.
How do you even break up with someone? Like, are you someone that's
I'm
like,
bad.
Role play. Like, pretend I'm the person. What are you saying to me?
Okay, so, I mean, I'll give you my round one. I don't think Kai would care.
Okay.
I'll give you my round one. I basically was just like, it was in the middle of Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And I was like, hey, babe, like, she's living in my house. And I was like, so, it's really busy right now. And there's just a lot going on, and I think you just got to go home for a little bit.
JoJo.
I was going to let her get home. I was going to let her be with her family. I was going to call her and be like, we're done. She said, are you breaking up with me?
Obviously, she said that. You thinking you're sly, being like, there's a lot going on. You got to go home. Why? You breaking up with me? Meanwhile, you're like, this is going to be brilliant. This is going to be, let her down easy. And then you said yes.
Of course I said yes.
Fuck.
Awful.
But that's kind of civil.
I tried my best to make it. I never truly broken up with somebody before.
Right.
Before that, okay, lies. I had a boyfriend, broke up with him like with a text message. Like, gave him a text message. And then, yeah, second time I broke up with her, honestly, don't remember how that one went. I think it was like kind of the same pattern.
Yeah.
Like, let's take some time. And then that time she did get home though before I did it. And then my last one, the gut feeling one, was bad. It was bad. I look back at it and I'm like, well, you did your big one. Have fun with it, I guess.
Screaming?
She, being me, definitely sent an audio message.
No.
I know.
No.
But in
how long?
Okay, nothing compared to the 47-minute audio message that I got back, but it was giving like 2.5 minutes.
Oh, you like went into an explanation.
Well, I was like, look, I started off with being like, because we just had like, she had just gotten home and I was like, right. I just wanted, I want you
are
to
you
have
do
this.
The whole audio message for us right now?
Yeah.
220.
220, here we go. Set my timer. No, it basically was just me like setting it up being like, I'm sending this to you like this so you can have a sec. I did have a theory. I did have thought behind it. Okay. I was like, I want to send you this in an audio, A, so you can hear my voice and it's not over text, but B, so you can process, figure out how you're feeling, and then call me. I'll answer. FaceTime, I'll answer. Show up, and I'll pick you up at the airport. Text me back. Block my number. Whatever you're feeling after this, like, in my head, it was the right thing to do to give her a second to process and then decide how she was feeling. Because I think that's what I wanted, I guess.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, I get what you're saying now. If you phone call, if you're on a phone call, the like, person can't be like, can you give me 5 minutes? Let me walk away for a second and think about, okay.
That's where I was like,
it's giving maturity a little.
We tried. We did try. Believe it or not, I just look like a toddler at this point in my life. I'm not one. I just look like one.
Fuck. Okay.
It is what it is.
I love that you can joke about yourself.
Yeah. Look, I can't take myself too seriously. We only get one of these things we call life.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just like, but I just am not in a position to be in a relationship anymore with you. Like, I don't remember what exactly.
You went through it.
And then it was a little bit of a back and forth. And then a couple days later, I got a 47-minute audio message. 47! Whole ass episode of Grey's Anatomy.
I was saying, did she have to record that on voice memo? Because, like, voice message, doesn't it cut you off at 2? Did she keep going? Boom, boom,
she
boom?
She kept going.
Oh, my.
Because no one knows who I'm talking about officially. It could literally be anybody. The worst part about the 47 audio message is you could hear her talk, right? And then you would hear a page flip.
No.
And she would keep talking. And then she would be sobbing. Like, I just... Okay, moving on.
Page flip.
Like, wrapped up the tears with a moving on page flip and kept reading.
Okay, not to, like, really get in detail, but I just have to ask you, when you see this amount of voice messages coming in, are we sitting down with, like, pasta? Are we in the car? Like, where did you sit down? You were sat.
Believe it or not, I was in Disneyland.
Shut the fuck
of all,
up.
Disney World, of all places. And I was like, okay, well, not going to take my 47 now, but when I get back to the hotel, like, we'll be doing my big one. Like,
holy.
And just, like, sat and listened and, like.
Watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Like, unfortunately, like, laughed. Like,
right, that's too crazy.
Like, at that point, it's like, okay, we've been broken up. Like, you, in a sense, know what you did. Like, you know why. God. But, like, yeah, really, really dramatic.
You know what it's giving? Did you see the Risa Tisa woman with like part 47
yes,
of what?
That. Oh, there's one more if you want one more.
What? Tell me.
Ring, ring, ring. This was after the 47-minute audio message. Ring, ring, ring. Who's her mom? It's like, oh God, that's got to go to voicemail. That's got to go to voicemail. Send it to voicemail. Hey, JoJo, it's Medley's mom. She's not here with me right now. She doesn't know that I'm calling you. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting right here with her, and she's so sad.
What?
Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much when I go through something publicly that the world doesn't
know.
See, and that I choose not to be very detailed about because, like,
until you come on call her daddy, sweetie.
For what it's worth, I gave no names.
Exactly.
There are a few people who that could be about.
Totally. Totally.
And also, like,
who gives a fuck? Wait, this is like the new way to break up with people. Voice message. I'm not kidding.
Look,
it's kind of mature.
It is. I like the second to process. As somebody who, when I'm feeling super strong emotions, I don't know how to talk.
Right.
Like, I don't know how to find my words. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to write a script and send a 47-minute audio, but I do like to have a second to be like, am I sad? Am I mad? Am I happy? Do I need a break? Do I need to go get a water? Do I need to cry? You know what I mean? And so.
Yeah. Because it's like when you go through a breakup, if you do it in person, which is obviously you would think is like the go-to, which I get.
Yeah.
But then the person needs to be like, you can process this. Then you drive home. Then you think about it. And then you come back and have another conversation. So really, a voice message, it's the modern way to break up with people.
I'm into it. Like, if I could go back in time, I would probably do it again.
Okay.
Like, I think if I was in a more serious relationship, like, I wouldn't do it. But at the level that relationship
was perfect.
Like, if you're in a 20-year relationship, yeah, maybe don't do the audio message 101.
Please no.
3 months.
Good to go.
We'll be fine.
How would you describe what you're looking for now?
Somebody who is down to... Okay, I think this just comes from how I was raised.
Okay.
But almost down to just be a stay-at-home wife, stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home person. Like, live your life. I mean, I always just say, like, my person will be my person. I would love somebody that will come to the studio with me. We'll come home and say, hey, you want a peanut butter and jelly? Not someone that's like, all right, babe, I'm going to school all day, like, see you in 8 hours, or I'm going to work all day. Like, I want them to have their passion, whatever they want to do. But I financially make enough to support a family and then my family's families. You know what I mean? And so I would love somebody that just wants to live life and is good and is helpful, but isn't, it doesn't feel the need to. Some people do feel, I feel the need to work. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I don't want to be someone's sugar daddy, but like...
JoJo as a sugar daddy, like, it's giving. I get what you're saying. What's going to be interesting for you is to find, like, you may meet the love of your life and you may think you wanted the stay-at-home person.
But then I might meet the most
talented, driven person that you're like, that fuck, we're going to just have to make this work
because
I love you so much. I think right now what you're describing is, you know where someone could fit into your life.
Yeah.
But if you met someone and it became a partnership, you probably could make it work, whatever it that is. That part. Right?
Yeah. I do think that. Because especially all of my people that have been, I've been in a series, I've had two.
Okay.
I've had two. Let me not be dramatic.
All of my relationships.
I mean, if you count my two boys, I've had four.
Oh.
Ooh, she's a high roller over here. But my two total opposite worlds.
Right.
One completely normal, nothing to do with the industry, normal school, normal college, like normal. Mm-hmm. One full influencer, you know what I mean? And so I've had my fair share of both.
You know, I feel really happy that I got to sit down with you today because I find myself fascinated when I watch people on the internet and knowing I'm in this industry, I can always like slightly see like, well, there's more to it. But you are a very nice person that like has an online persona that is larger than life.
Yes.
So it's hard, I bet, for a lot of people to like even believe there's like substance human. And a chill person and a human behind that. Like even, okay, JoJo, we quickly have to talk about your car outside. Are we getting rid of the, like, can you, to anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about, you have a Tesla that is completely wrapped in
like my 15-year-old face.
And it's like 100 of your faces?
There's so many of them. Big bow and all spinners that are rainbow. It's the inside's rainbow and rhinestone. Like, it's a whole thing.
First of all, safety hazard?
Very much so.
You're driving and everyone knows it's like...
Followed, there's swerving. Like, no one else can drive the car but me and my dad because only him and I know how to, like, navigate it because it is... People swerve, people follow. It's really bad.
Why do you drive that car?
So, I typically don't.
Okay.
I typically don't. But so the car thing is actually very interesting. That was my first car.
Okay.
Okay. And my that was my second car. Okay. But my first car, my parents bought me and they had it wrapped with my Dream the Tour logo. That was my big concert tour that I did when I was a kid. And it became a big promotional tool. Me driving it all the time, me in pictures, me in videos. It became like massive promo. We're like, oh shit, this is a thing. So then they made toys of the JoJo car. Then we were like, okay, so then I got this car and my manager got me this car and it was originally painted really cool. And then I just didn't like the paint job anymore. And so I wrapped it and David Dobrik had pranked his friend and put his face all over it. And I was like, oh my God, think of the video if I put my own face. That would be hysterical. So I did it for a video and then it became a thing and they made that car for a toy. And then I was like, then it just became a thing. It became a social media thing. It became a, what is she driving? It became a, look at your face right now. Like, are you psychotic? It became that.
Insane.
And then it became a massive promotional tool. Massive. I don't know what, I did my Pride clothing collection last year and we put that on the car because it just, it is such a wacky thing. Like, why do you have this? Right.
And it works.
And it works. And so now we're doing it again with Karma.
Okay, hold on. Do you at least have like a random G-Wagon in the house so you can like whip it out and like go get a fucking coffee and not get
so hunted? I had so my car that's being wrapped currently was plain white.
Okay.
Not very discreet. She is a Lamborghini, but she is plain white.
Oh my God. JoJo.
But she's plain white. Let her be plain white for a second. And then my mom and dad have a car, both of them, and so I can drive either of their cars at any point. Okay. In time. They moved. So now I got two cars, one with 15-year-old me face on and one with 20-year-old me face on.
JoJo, we need to, like, get you a car so you can, like, be a little inconspicuous.
I do, especially now. I will probably get a new car that we will leave, like plain. Like, plain.
Wait,
plain,
like,
plain,
when you want to go, like, have a dinner and just, like, be a little normal for
a
second.
So here's the problem.
Okay.
No matter what, I go to that dinner. No matter what car I drive.
Right.
I still hop out of the car and it's still...
paparazzi.
Nuts. Huh. No matter what, even in the restaurant, that's where like dating becomes a problem. Like, do we have to take the JoJo car? No, I don't want to either. But no matter what, when we get there, it's still going to be a show for the world. So let's just Uber Eats. And that's like why I'm a home bird.
Oh,
that's another thing. So get this, because we were talking about dating and because we've gotten deep on shit.
Okay.
You'll like this. Something that is very strange is because of how public I am, like going on dates with somebody isn't a thing. First date is always at the house, always with the family, because my family is always around. We all live together.
Right.
And I can't date somebody in public for the first
of course
few
right,
months.
Right, right.
So our first time meeting each other is like, yeah, come over to the house.
Meet my whole family.
Day one.
Okay, now that you're going to live alone, are you going to fucking invite your family over quickly? Or
absolutely
are you going to be
not.
Alone?
Absolutely not.
Will you have security there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
So we'll,
just outside. Like,
okay, just a chill.
We have walkie-talkie. If I need you, I'll call you. Like, I can scream really loud if I need to.
We're giving walkie-talkie on the first date. I am dying. Okay, so you'll do like a little outside date and just chill.
Yeah, like just like.
Okay.
And I'm a talker. Like, we will talk for 2 or 3 months over the phone before I like actually make a move to hang out with somebody.
Okay.
We'll talk about Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy before I'll do it in person.
Of course. Yeah,
naturally.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to get you on the Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy bandwagon.
I don't know if I'll ever get on that bandwagon.
That's okay.
But I.
Honestly, I'll accept it.
No, and I think what you have a, like, listen, you have a good fucking rebuttal. The fact that I started this being like, your kids are going to get fucking bullied. You're like, if that's the thing they're getting bullied for,
yeah.
Fucking love it. I'm like, you have a fucking point. But you could try to give them a head start with no bullying.
There's no chance.
And be like,
they're my kids. No. It's like, I had a past partner be like, I don't want to have kids in the public eye. And I was like, they're my children. Like,
right.
They don't even have a shot at a private life. Like, it's just like.
The reality.
It's just the reality. And like, I'm not going to exploit them. Like, right. Unless they want to do something in the industry, they totally can. But like, their kids are going to be somewhat in the public eye just because like, their mom is. But if they hate their names, they can go by their middle names. We can have Anthony, Tyler, and Jay.
Okay, I like that.
But Freddie, Eddie, Teddy's way
cuter. Okay.
So what happens is, like, I'll see a little girl, right? Okay. There's this little girl that ran by my studio the other day. She was probably 3, carrying a 24-ounce coffee, iced coffee.
Okay.
Like, running in her gymnastics leotard, socks, no shoes. And I was like, ah, there's Freddie. Like, that's
JoJo.
Like, I'll see these twin, like, if I see twin boys anywhere, I'll be like, look, there's Eddie and Teddy over there.
What
like,
if you don't have twins?
That is a fair point.
Then how are we pivoting?
Teddy would probably come first.
So you're basically admitting you like Teddy more than Freddie, or is it Eddie?
Freddie's the baby girl.
Oh, Freddie.
Eddie's the baby
so
boy.
So Freddie. Okay,
yeah.
Then so it's Teddy and Eddie.
I like Teddy.
You like Teddy more than Eddie.
Well, Eddie's like the bad troublemaker.
Oh, Teddy's
yeah. Eddie Anthony is a
Eddie.
Rebel. And I love the rhyme of Teddy Tyler. I think that's so cute.
Fucking Jesus Christ. I just called Teddy Eddie and then I'm like, wait, Freddie's the girl?
Freddie's the girl.
Fucking shit. Oh my God.
The
okay.
Internet's gonna love
They're gonna
you
freak
for
out.
This.
I can't.
No,
okay.
They're gonna love
Because
well,
I had
this.
To ask you because I'm like, there's gotta be a reason. I don't know if I'm on board, but you know what? The fact that they have their middle names, I'm like, Godspeed. Okay, finishing up.
Okay.
This new era for you, music and your outfits and just changing, wrapping your car to not have that face, but your 20-something-year-old face. Like, describe it. How do you feel about it?
I feel like I am becoming the artist that I've always wanted to become. I feel like I finally am able to take these massive video visions and massive, I mean, this first video for Karma, we've joked around that it's a major motion picture in 2.5 minutes because, like, it is and the budget, and I was able to finance it myself. Like, it is wild. And so I feel like I'm finally becoming the artist that I've always wanted to be. I'm so proud. I know the world's gonna shit on it.
No. Yes. Yeah. Why'd I say no? Yes.
But we gotta watch it to shit on it. You know what I mean? True. And whether people like it or not, it has become, and yes, pun very much so intended, people's guilty pleasure. People are even, I have this TikTok that I was posting today that was like, look, whether you like it or not, what's been in your head the last 3 days? And then the song just plays in the background. And I'm kind of mad because I've had this TikTok for like 5 days. You can ask anyone on my team. And I'm like, I'm just saving it for the right time, the right time. And today I woke up and my For You page, every other one is like, look, everyone's been knocking it, but I've been walking around my house singing it. Look, people say what you want, but you all know I've been saying I was a bad girl. And so I'm like, shit, people are beating me to it. But my one that I just posted is doing good, so I don't want to post it yet. So tonight. Like, no matter what, tonight. Because the trend's happening without me, and I want to jump on the trend. Like, panicking.
I mean, listen, you're doing a great job. You clearly are a businesswoman. You know what the fuck you're doing. What do you think is the biggest misunderstanding about you?
That I have somebody telling me what to do. On every level. From the time I was a kid to people being like, you're... What, like, why is this manager has to be crazy? But it was me. To now being like, her team needs to stop. I'm like, actually, it's me. And it ain't stopping anytime soon. So
you're like, I'm the one that picked out this hat. I'm the one that picked out this song. I'm the one that's doing all of this. So.
And this hat did its big one in this. Like,
can you imagine the comments? I'm already seeing it. It's going to be.
But here's the thing. Imagine the comments. It could be your most commented on thing.
You're right. You know what you're doing.
Like, that is something. Like, I think I've just understood, because I've grown up in it.
Yeah.
That it's just a game.
Yeah.
It is just a massive game. And it is art. And it is, I'm an entertainer.
And you're really fucking good at it.
Thank you. I try.
What do you want people really to take hard. Away from this interview that maybe, like, had a certain understanding of you on the internet?
Actually, can I Uno reverse?
Please.
What did you take away from it?
Great question, JoJo. I think I...
Besides my baby names are psycho.
Aside from the fact that you're fucking insane for naming your future children that, and I stand by that, I will say when I was prepping for this interview, I was having a really hard time. Understandably, we all come from, like, what our experience is.
Of course.
Picturing myself in my younger teen years, thinking of the things most of... kids my age were doing and how we wanted to look. I was interested to try to understand JoJo, the girl with the bow and the neon and the sparkles and all of it, and try to understand, like, is this a kid that's, like, been a little stunted from, like,
mentally malnourished?
Have you been held back to play this character and not been able to live normal experiences? You haven't had normal experiences. That doesn't mean that you haven't been able to grow in the way that you've grown. And I think when you talk about being so much more mature in your day-to-day life than what a 16-year-old was doing at the time, you're right. I wasn't fucking cutting business deals. I wasn't walking into meetings having to present myself in a certain way and think about what my career was going to look like and strategize and what's the next season and what's the look and what's this.
And be in charge of employees.
Yeah.
Be in charge of, there was a point in time on tour, I was in charge of 60 people.
Yeah. And listen, like, I can speak from my own experience too. It doesn't mean that, like, you're not putting some stuff up that people can objectively be like, that's a little cringe, JoJo.
Of
like,
course.
JoJo, why are we humping the air, JoJo?
I agree. Why are we?
But
take me back in time. What the fuck were you doing?
It's also like, it's refreshing also, if I can be like, because I care, I think, about people's mental health. Like, it's refreshing to know you're okay, honestly.
Yeah.
I think everything that's recently come out with the Nickelodeon documentary and just seeing, like, child stars, there is more kids that have not had your experience than have had your experience. And people that were learning about, like, the pressures financially and the abuse and just all of it.
I'm lucky that my bad has not been bad.
Yeah. And I think I wasn't sure
my
today.
My bad has been a little bit of bullying on the internet. Like, that's
a lot of bullying.
A lot of bullying on the internet. But compared to people with their parents, people with their creators, people with their financials, people with their bodies being around people they didn't want them to be around, like, I have been so lucky. And I credit that to my mom.
Yeah.
My mom has kept every psychopath out of my life.
Dude, and you even saying that, like, you, yes, are so fortunate you didn't have to go through that. But I guess sitting with you today, it was mm-hmm. helpful to hear it from you to be like, I've never been taken advantage of from my family.
Yeah.
Like, because one could assume, you like, assume you're having a mental breakdown.
100%.
You're losing your mind.
100%.
You look fucking insane with your jewels. And everyone's like, this bitch is about to have a mental breakdown. And in 10 years, we're going to hear a really sad story about JoJo. So it's like,
totally,
you're very much in control of your life.
Yes.
And getting to sit with you for, I don't even know, this has been probably 2 fucking hours at this point. Thank you for opening up to me, because I never really go into an interview with judgment, but I obviously, in doing research, there was only so much I could find of like, what is this person going to be like?
And
you're lovely.
No offense to your generation or your age. Yeah. How old are you?
29.
Yep. You're the age that judges me. Like 1,000% without a doubt. Because when I was 16, right? 4 years ago, you were 25.
Yeah.
You're the, what the fuck is that 16-year-old doing?
Yes.
Like, what?
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's so understandable. And I actually loved the approach that you took in this interview, because I've never gotten to talk about 99% of the stuff that I got to talk about today.
I'm so happy that you, and I, it feels like it. I'm happy you were comfortable with talking about it, because I think my favorite thing to do on the show is like, poke a little bit at like acknowledging what's happening, but then be 100%. Like, okay, but actually now let me hear from your perspective.
100%.
And you don't owe anyone anything. You didn't owe me anything to like
totally
claim a narrative or whatever, but like
totally,
it does help, because now when I see you doing all your shit online and I'm gonna be laughing, you're like, being like, get it, bitch, fucking get it, get your bag, get your money, knowing
like
you're going
see
with your
people are jumping on me doing this dance right now. I'm gonna give you this dance on the fringe hat. Because when I do that in the fringe hat,
let's
like,
go make a TikTok. JoJo Siwa, thank you so much for coming on Call Her Daddy. You. It was
thank
a pleasure.
You.
It really
this was the best day of my life. Fuck. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.